Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
The home team.
And here we go.
All right, hour number two, the home team, presented by Golden Pantry. Eat, drink, be golden.
You know what would be golden? Beating Florida.
Beating
Saturday.
Florida would be, yeah, that would be golden. Got to avoid having Dan Mullen go 1-0 in the series against Georgia, and also avoid having then Florida be... I guess they wouldn't be in the driver's seat because they did lose to Kentucky. Florida would be in the weird position. Then they would then be rooting for us next week in Lexington.
You know, I wrote about this in the Bulldog Illustrated this week. This game's about this season. If Georgia loses, Georgia can still have a good season. But to have a great year, got to win this one. And even if you're thinking along the lines of playoff and 2019, 2020, but specifically 2019, you want to be going into that game next year on a two-game winning streak. And how about this? The last time a Georgia coach beat a Florida coach to wind up with a winning record and give the Florida coach a losing record in the series would be 1988, Vince Dooley and Galen Hall.
Okay, so Kirby would be 2-1 and Mullen would be 0-1.
That's right.
Yeah. Wow. So the last time it was Coach Dooley took out Galen Hall. Who then? What was Galen Hall's record?
He was. Okay. Let's see. They beat us in 1984. I think he was 2-3 against us.
Okay.
Because in the next year, Darnell, Georgia won that game, but Ragoff would not wind up with a winning record against Florida.
Okay. But at that point, he was 1-0, and Darnell was 0-1.
That's correct.
Okay.
At that point.
At that
but
point.
Again, Gary Darnell wound up at 0-1.
Right.
Then Florida hired a guy named Steve Spurrier, and
he ended up at something
11-1.
Something in one. It was 11-1.
He was 11-1. Meyer was 5-1. And it's like even those you could if we'd have just won the games in 0-2 and 0-3.
Yeah, but Zook was 2-1.
Those were the killers. Yeah. And then that game in 14 with Muschamp. If we'd have just won those three, which is not that outlandish, then in the 2000s the series would pretty much be 50-50.
McElwain went 2-1 too, didn't he?
Oh yeah.
Yeah. So
Muschamp was 1-3.
Right.
But
he won the
Mark
last
Richt
one.
Did
didn't
not
he?
Have a winning record against Florida.
No.
So that's
despite
where,
I mean going down like Mark Richt took better teams down
those
there
were the 0-2 and 0-3
than like
Stingers.
Goff did.
Yes.
And even Coach Donnan.
Yes. Like the 0-2 and 0-3, those are the ones because we had the better team and the better coach and still lost.
Right. I mean, you know, when you look back, even the years where we beat them, as rare as it was, it has been a series where the team that has had the better team has typically won it.
Oh,
but
yes.
We have been the exception.
Right.
Right.
In 02, 03, and 14.
But there haven't been like a ton of just outright upsets. I mean, even in 07, maybe at the time that felt like an upset, but you know, in the aftermath, Georgia was better that season.
Yeah, we
than
wound
they
up
were.
Number two in the country.
Yeah.
And even like in 97, Florida was a 19-point favorite going in. That was Coach Donnan's second team. We wound up 10-2 in the top 10.
I think these two teams now, and it's like, you know, I guess Florida's certainly the bigger surprise, but you know, I feel it's little more even, which will bring us to the 5 at 5, brought to you by Duplicating Systems, more than a system, a solution. Jeff, you've been here all week. I have not been here all week,
Slacker.
So I am going to ask you for your opening statement on the game Saturday and how you're feeling about it.
It's a monster game. It's a shades of 2012, both teams in the top 10. The winner of this, obviously, in the driver's seat to make it to the SEC championship game. The future's so bright for Georgia. What the Dogs did last year was amazing. But for this season to be great, Georgia's got to win. If Georgia loses, this season can still be good. But for it to be great, to have a shot at a championship, got to win on Saturday, plain and simple.
Yeah. Now, I mean, Georgia could still end up, like you said, with a good year. I mean, we could end up 10-2.
Sure.
But, you know, if Georgia doesn't end up in Atlanta, loses to Florida this year, coming off of last season, it's going to be hard not to feel a little let down and disappointed by it.
But this team got up to number two in the country. Although I will say, and it showed with Ohio State getting blown out by Purdue. Remember, Clemson barely beat Syracuse. Except for you know who, every team in the country has had a tremendous scare or a loss.
Yeah, I guess like my, you know, we're so far where I'm sitting at with, you know, today and then tomorrow and then the game will be here Saturday. Is my, like, I don't think like, oh, Georgia's definitely going to lose the game, but I also I'm not really convinced or confident that Georgia's going to win. I really don't have a feel on the game one way or another. I mean, I am a little bit uneasy. My the primary source of unrest with me is the fact it goes back to like thinking about the loss to LSU and you know how the two teams were sized up before that game and the aftermath and saying like looking at it and going, well, oh yeah, look at who LSU had played, look at who we had played, and for as improved as the Gators are coming into this game, they've played Kentucky. They've played Mississippi State on the road. They've played LSU.
Mm-hmm.
We played LSU too. We played them on the road. They played them at home. But after that, I mean, who's the next best team we played? Missouri, South Carolina?
Probably Missouri.
Yeah. I mean, one of those two teams. It's just, you know, for the Gators to have made the strides that they have offensively, it's when you consider they've played Kentucky, Mississippi State, and LSU, three of the best defenses in the country. I mean, it really is impressive the work that Mullen's done there in a short period of time.
It is impressive. And let's reiterate, too, that bar was set low because their offense was horrible last year.
Terrible. They've gone from, like, basically their success rate on offense last year, they've gone from 113th in the country. They're 15th right now.
And now, again, is that like over 4 yards a play?
Yeah.
Or,
okay. Yeah. And so, you know, and that's just, again, that's facing Mississippi State, Kentucky, and LSU's defenses. Those are three really, really good defenses, and they've been able to make those kind of gains offensively. And then I just, yeah, when you look at how awful Nick Fitzgerald is this season for Mississippi State, man. I mean, it really is. But Dan Mullen's a really good coach, and it would just be nice to go ahead and have him start off 0-1 in the series.
Yeah, no doubt about it. I mean, here's the thing. Georgia's going to be there every year with Kirby. What was nice last year was that Florida wasn't a contender. But as a Georgia fan, you should assume that Florida is going to be a contender every year with Mullen there.
Right. You know, I mean, maybe what this series will finally turn into is honestly what the series should be. And the Georgia-Florida series should never be a series where one team wins a bunch of games in a row over the other.
Unless it's Georgia winning a bunch of games in a row.
Yeah, but even, I mean, let's be realistic. Like, I mean, Florida never should have had the streak that they had against us. And, I mean, to be real, I mean, Georgia should never be at a point really where the Dogs are even capable of winning like 6 or 7 games in a row over Florida. And I mean, this might turn into a series now where, you know, it is. I mean, maybe you win like 1 or 2 years in a row, but that's it. The cap, you know, as far as a cap of a streak between these two.
Yeah, I think what would be realistic, what you would like. Now, obviously, you'd like to win today and then these next 2 years. But if Georgia could average winning 2 straight and 3 out of 4, that. And let's face it, and I know different years are different teams and all this, the road to Atlanta leads through Jacksonville, and it pretty much always is going to. So if Georgia could get in a stretch like that, win 2 out of 2, 3 out of 4, 3 out of 5, 4 out of 6, that should put Georgia in a position to accomplish those lofty goals. Because the other part about it, too, and of course nothing's a given, you don't know, but in a given year, most of the time, if Georgia beats Florida – that means that Georgia should be having an outstanding season.
Yeah. And, I mean, really, and, yeah, it should be the team all of a sudden that is vaulting themselves to Atlanta. And that definitely is what Saturday feels like. Again, I know Kentucky's still lurking, but
– and that's going to be really tough next week.
They play the mysterious 4 o'clock game against Missouri out there in Como. So both games will be happening simultaneously.
Chris, I said before the year, you were a witness, remember? You were a witness that if we could come out of Baton Rouge at 6-1, I really felt like this team's best football was ahead of us. Now, when you're 6-0, I back away from that deal. I don't want that deal. But Georgia's put itself in a position, and I'm telling you, from 97 through 05, every one of those years, Georgia either went to Jacksonville undefeated or once beaten. Unfortunately, only one down there in 97 and 04. Then we got in a stretch in 06 and 07. We went down there with two losses. In 09, we had multiple losses. In 10 and 11, didn't go down there once beaten or undefeated again, with exception of 08, until 2012. Then we blew that game down there in 14. Then we got back down there again in 17. So that the key is for Georgia, I think, in any year, if you can go into Jacksonville either undefeated or once beaten, you've put yourself in a position to have a great year. And then if Georgia can win that Florida game, then you are really flying high and you got a chance to do something special. And Georgia, this team, even though the last time out wasn't good, this team has put itself in a position to do something special. Now the Dogs have to take that next step.
Yeah, I mean, and we're going to have to see, too, what what changes that Georgia's come up with over this this bye week. Because, and I get, when you lose a game, you certainly don't feel like you're getting better. But, like, the thought of, like, Georgia playing its best football in the last month of the season, even in the six games Georgia had been winning, when you look back on it now, Georgia wasn't getting better every week.
No, we were overwhelming teams with superior players. But, I mean, listen, Kirby was the first one saying it. He was coming off after Vandy. We won by 20. We got too many penalties. We're killing ourselves with penalties. We had four straight SEC games. Now, granted, one of them was a great defensive play by Tyson Campbell, where we recovered fumbles for touchdowns. That is insanely lucky.
Yeah, but Georgia had basically been just static this season. So, we'll have to see Saturday whether or not it does look like a team that's going to, take that step forward and be at its best in the last month of the season, because Georgia's been essentially, since Austin Peay, the same exact team.
I disagree in one area. That third quarter against South Carolina, that was a dominant football team. Outside of that, you're right.
Yeah, but other than that, I mean, Georgia's got one offensive touchdown in the first halves of road games.
That's distressing. 18 drives. One offensive touchdown in six quarters of football.
Yeah. So then, I mean, if we were good the third quarter of the South Carolina game, so then we've gotten worse then as the season's gone on.
Certainly didn't look the same against Missouri. I mean, that was a game where Georgia should have scored in the 50s in that game.
Well, yeah, and didn't score, I guess didn't have an offensive touchdown in the first half of that game.
Then all of a sudden, that Tennessee game, it's 24-12, and we got a third and four on our own 34 to 31 yard line. And it's like, whoa, this thing's gotten tight.
It's sketchy. Yeah, the first quarter in that game was, and the first quarter in the Vandy game was.
Well,
close.
I mean, first quarter and second quarter, they go 80 something yards, and Jordan Davis gets a fourth and one stop. We had a third one and a fourth and one stop against Vandy. It was like we were on the edge, and I'm just telling you, and I apologize if you've heard it a million times. I remember my man Landers used to say it all the time. We'd be rolling these teams early in the year, and he goes, they're not listening, we're not getting any better. I'd say, Coach, we're winning by 30 because we're not getting anybody. And sure enough, we'd run into somebody good, and things wouldn't go our way. And I'm just telling you, Kirby was preaching the same stuff. We got to get better at this. We got to get better at that. And at some point, it's going to blow up in your face. And it blew up in our face against LSU. So the question now is, how do we respond?
All right, let's talk about some potential changes from the LSU game to now. Let's start with the running backs. What would be the over-under for the number of carries you would set that we'll see Georgia have Saturday? How many running plays?
At least 40 to 45.
Okay.
Minimum.
So we'll run in the 40s.
Yes.
Snaps for Justin Fields?
I would guess around, if Georgia runs 70 plays, 15 to 20.
Okay. So basically, what do you have, five against LSU? Now, will he have a series, or are we going to continue to do the odd thing where, like, Fromm's in the game and then all of a sudden Fields is in the game? And then it's third and one and we take Fields out and put Fromm back in.
I don't know. And again, I think that's one where you trust the coaches and you trust the players, but I think there might be a more predetermined way to do it.
Okay.
But then you could see a play here or there, like, hey, all right, this guy's in for this series, but on this one play, you do that, but then you're back in. But I wouldn't be surprised if we saw a more predetermined way to do things.
Well, our young friend Ross, who played football, he made an interesting point last week. When you think back to that false start that we had in the Tennessee game, like, these guys come in, they have different cadences.
No doubt. And you're also talking about, in my opinion, Georgia had been playing too many wide receivers. I think, to me, it's hard for a quarterback to get a timing down with a wide receiver more than three or four. So now you're also talking about getting that timing down with two quarterbacks, too.
Yeah, right.
And for and then
when you're a lineman and you're used to how one guy like calls out right. the signals, and then all of a sudden it's third and one, and the guy who was just in isn't in the game anymore.
And then also you've got a situation on the offensive line. What we've only had back-to-back games twice where we've started the same line, and it hadn't been the same five
guys. And that's something Florida has. Florida's been healthy. Their offensive line has started every game for them.
Their O-line started every game. They've got good special teams numbers, and they're plus +9 in the turnover department. I mean, that's one.
Hopefully, maybe that stat will normalize on Saturday.
Because we're only plus +2 now after Baton Rouge.
Yeah, but we've been scoring on ours. I mean, we've needed them, too, in those road games.
No doubt.
In those first halves. All right, you know, it's funny. The Gators are very good, but the Gators, you know, they don't have, like, Tim Tebow. They don't have Percy Harvin.
I'm glad.
They don't have, Aaron Hernandez. They don't have Brandon Spikes.
Who? Kevin Carter.
Yeah, they don't have – yeah, Lito Shepard.
Oh, bad memories.
Who does? I mean, who do we need to worry about, though, just individually from them?
I think P. Ryan, the back, is really good. And Chris, the guy – we know Van Jefferson's really good. The guy – I just go back to a play he made against Tennessee, like Swain, when after Tennessee had committed one of its six turnovers – he had a dash down the right sideline, going left to right as we were watching on TV. I just remember thinking, like, wow, that's the type of jet that Florida really hadn't had at receiver. I know that Andre DeBose was hurt a lot, but, I mean, really, do you have to go back to, like, Percy and Riley Cooper and Lewis Murphy and those guys?
Well, they had Callaway, but he never was eligible.
Very true.
So. They could have had him, but
yeah, he was very good.
Did he ever play against us?
Maybe once. He was suspended a lot.
Yeah. I watch that guy now. I mean, he gets open a lot in Cleveland. Guy is
good. But, you know, that's the crazy thing. When even a couple of the good teams they had, because, I mean, Florida football to me, since I was a kid and since way before I was around, when they had Spurrier and John Reeves at quarterback, and I mean, I remember Wayne Peace, so he was the first Florida quarterback I really remember, and then into Kerwin Bell. Then, of course, you had Matthews and, I mean, Danny Wonderful, and on up into Tebow. You know, they always had great – Florida could always throw the football. That's what was so crazy, wasn't it, that these last few years they just – they didn't have these explosive downfield offenses. And that's what Florida football always – just like Georgia football, listen, you go back to Bob McWhorter, Trippy, Cinquich. When Georgia has a great running game, those are Georgia's best teams.
And they still – their offense really this year hadn't been explosive, but they've been – they've certainly been more competent moving the ball than they were last season. Like, they can move the ball, but they just – they don't necessarily have that ability to just strike and score from anywhere on the field. And that is still one edge. I mean, Georgia – does appear to be able to score more easily than Florida can.
Now, I think you'll agree with this. You and I both said before the year Florida would be the most improved team in college football because, again, this is Florida. They won four games and made a huge upgrade at coach. But I don't think either one of us saw them being in the top 10 coming into this
game. No, I mean, I didn't see us getting to this week and me actually being worried Georgia might lose the game.
You thought that wouldn't happen until next year, maybe.
Yeah. No, I didn't see – sitting here like 2 days before the game and like worrying about, yeah, I think Florida can win.
Well, is Felipe Franks – I mean, if they did like one of those baseball awards, he's got to be the most improved player in the league, isn't he?
Yeah. Is he comeback man of the year?
He was never there to start with.
Right.
He's just most improved.
That's why I don't like when they give that award to a guy who just stunk.
It's like, wait a minute.
Yeah. That should go to a guy who was, like, hurt and came back.
Like, Pernfors had the rare distinction. He won it twice on tour, the only player to do that, because he'd come back from injuries.
Yeah. Sometimes like they do give year. It to a guy who's like, hey, no, come on, he just stunk the year before.
Hey, I hit .210 and led the league in strikeouts. Yeah, you hit .270 this year. You're most improved.
Yeah. But there was also no question the team made a massive upgrade at head coach, and
massive.
It's just already showing in this the improvement that Franks has made and how awful Nick Fitzgerald is now at Mississippi State.
Gotta hit Grantham.
Yeah. I'm enjoying this week too how the meaning of third and Grantham, it has two different meanings depending on who's
mm-hmm.
here in Athens, Third and Grantham means something entirely different than it means in Gainesville.
Plus the train wreck that we're about to see here.
Yeah, right? But Third and Grantham in Gainesville is like, nah, we're good on third down. And Mississippi State last year, you know, they led the SEC in opponents' third down conversions. I mean, they were very, very good on third down.
I know.
But Third and Grantham here, that's a good thing.
Maybe he's grown. But, I mean, the deal was, too, when he was here, that was the first time he was a D.C. And I'll give our friend Coach Donnan a lot of credit. He said it at the time. He goes, that's a horrible hire for Mark. He goes, that's a terrible hire. And I remember that when we lost that game to Colorado, I was about to pull my hair out. Coach Donnan was texting me 10 plays in a row. He called the play they were going to run on 9 of those 10.
Mm-hmm.
He's like, all right, they're going to throw the tight end. All right, they're going to run left. Quarterback draw, and I was like, oh my God.
But Grantham, he didn't figure it out.
Coach is sitting in his living room. But obviously, well, he got 4 years as a DC in the SEC, and then the guy's got an unbelievable agent, as we've talked. And he's worked for Mark Richt, Bobby
Petrino,
now
Mullen. I know. And Third and Grantham, though. I want us to be in Third and Grantham Saturday, and the Gators want us to be in Third and Grantham on Saturday. So which Third and Grantham are we going to see?
It's the irresistible force against the immovable object.
Yeah. It's like that what is that Spider-Man meme where, like, the two Spider-Mans are pointing at each other?
That's right.
Yeah. That's Third and Grantham
Bizarro
this weekend.
Superman.
All right, Jeff, we'll wrap things up with a quick NFL note with the undefeated L.A. Rams. I want you to tell me, are the Rams actually going to lose, and if so, when?
I think they look like a 14-2 team to me. Let me look at their schedule. I mean, that game in Mexico City is going to be a toss-up.
They play the Chiefs there.
Yes.
They go to New Orleans, but can the Saints stop them?
No, but the Saints can score. That could be a thing where you get a 2-for-none or something. All right, so let's see. They should handle that game at the Saints.
How about Aaron Rodgers? It's like a 10-point underdog this weekend.
Yeah, it might not be bad. They should win at the game at the Bears. It could be cold there, December 9th.
Okay.
I could see that.
The Bears do have a good D.
They do. You're going to think I'm crazy. If they've got the division – now, I know it's an X factor if, like, the division's clinched, but the Eagles go in there on December 16th. That's a Sunday night game. They might have that division clinched. If the Eagles are fighting for a playoff spot, that crowd will be 70% Philly. That might be one where Gurley is just like, yeah, why don't we just sit tied this game?
Yeah.
So I would say the three best chances are, Chris, I would say the four best. I'd say Saints, the Chiefs game's a toss-up, at the Bears and the Eagles. So I would say, let's say they split those. I'll give them 14-2.
I like the best case for a Super Bowl preview is going to be played in Mexico City this year.
By the way.
Although I guess New England is still a threat, aren't they?
How about that, the Bears, that the Patriots? That could only happen for New England, right? You hit
they got
a Hail
two
Murray,
non-offensive touchdowns.
And you hit a Hail Mary and the Patriots tackle you on the half-yard line.
Yeah. Yeah.
How does that happen?
And you end up losing to them because, like, Gronk was out. I guess it turned out Gordon ended up playing. I thought Josh Gordon was going to be out too, but they played without Gronk. And New England, I mean, you're playing the Patriots. You cannot let them score non-offensive touchdowns.
No,
and they had two.
No.
They returned a kick, and then they blocked a punt.
By the way, Chris, I got to do something with you here too.
All right.
I did this for the weekend you.
All right, is this going to be?
Oh, it's one to
on the other.
I'm not, yes, definitely okay. On the other side. I'm not trying to rival Adam Wynn, but
okay. All right. Well, we'll do that. There's your 5 at 5. Brought to you as always by Duplicating Systems. More than a system, a solution.